All right. Thanks, Anne, for setting these up. Welcome to our Handshake Mastermind Twitter Spaces. I think the timing's right. I don't know if Anne did it on purpose, but a proposal just dropped in the GitHub. So we'll be talking about that. I'm Mike Michelini, Sky Include, also known as. We have Nathan here, co-host, and Andrew here.
G'day.
G'day, mate.
it's pretty good. It's a little bit cold this morning, but other than that, pretty good.
Okay. Andrew, how are you?
Good. Thanks for organizing, mate. I'm glad to be here.
Anne's helping.
Anne,
okay. Too. Yeah, Anne, how are you? Anne, she put the music on. I want her to speak more. Anne, how are you?
Yeah, good. Good. Happy Friday from the Philippines.
Yeah, 8 a.m. there, 7 a.m. Friday in Thailand. And then I know it's late in Europe. So we have a few different things to talk about. As always, we welcome, it's an open floor too, so people could also come up here. I want to be as inclusive as possible. So I'm reading off the list. Improvements on the marketplaces and namebase, HNSID, ShakeStation, Beachfront, .mfers on HNSID, HNS integrations from Blink Labs. Nathan might share some updates on his side. There's some hints of an HNS email coming soon. Of course, this new proposal that was just put in about the reallocations of funds. HandyCon 5 discussions and HNSAU already came in as a community sponsor. Thanks for that, HNSAU. So maybe we first start with some updates from marketplaces. Nathan, would you like to help with that?
Sure. I heard those updates. I did hear that Beachfront, that's done by Paul, I think. I think he's still in beta, so some stuff doesn't work yet, but I would recommend having a look. It has done a good job with the actual looks of the site. It's I would probably say better looking than Namebase or ShakeStation, but that is because he spent a bit more time on the design. But on HNSID, I'm not sure if there's been any major updates. I think last time we talked, the emoji SLDs and TLDs had already been added. Is that correct?
I believe so.
So that's been the latest major update, and I'm not sure how many of you have seen on HNSID, but there's been the dot heart emoji, which has a lot of SLDs. So it's good to see an emoji TLD actually doing well. And then you've also got a lot of emoji SLDs as well. On the regular namebase, it's a bit confusing having two namebase registries, but the not HNSID one, we haven't really had any major updates either. It's been basically the same as it has been for the last couple of months. There has been a fair amount of new TLDs, but I can't think of any notable ones. Yeah.
Okay. What's the leaderboard link for that? It's namebase.io/leaderboard?
To check
like top registrations, SLDs and such. And
I think it might be /reg.
Yes.
Registry/leaderboard.
Yeah, /registry.
And then also, yeah, then you've also got HNSID/leaderboard. Or is it leaderboard? I think it's leaderboard on HNSID. But there's also a link on the HNSID website.
Yeah, that one is purely leaderboard. The name base needs registry in between it and leaderboard. Cool.
Yep.
Eskimo, you want to give us any ShakeStation updates? If there are?
There aren't really any ShakeStation updates right now. I've just been doing little things like in the background, but I'm working on a new site. I don't really have any more info to give about that yet, but that'll be coming soon.
Ooh. Wonder what it'll be.
Teaser here, teasing us.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Okay. Let's see. I'm checking back the agenda. Beachfront, is Beachfront here to share? Come up on stage. If we have some.
Yeah, I see Paul.
Here. I see Paul here. Yeah, so I'd love to have you up on stage if you're willing or able. But give it a couple minutes. But it's just, I think it's, you know, of course, that's what the goal of Handshake is, in my opinion, is decentralization and having multiple different registries for people to use, registrars. So it's great to see it. How about .mfers? So Anne helps make these agendas. I'm not sure if there's somebody to speak about these things, Anne, but I see .mfers on HNSID. Is there some updates on that?
Paul's just here, so did he want to give an update?
Yeah, Paul, if you can talk about Beachfront, that'd be awesome.
All right, so Beachfront. I was working on the free website builder. I want to make it so any domain you get on Beachfront, you will be able to have a free website, and it's going to be like you could do like a link page thing, or it can just be like a simple about me page, just very simple templates. But most people, when they have a website, they might want to have like, those are the main things that they want. They just want something to like show people like, hey, this is me, or maybe I want to sell this site. So, you know, landers like that as well. During the development of this, I realized it would be nice to have a CDN because I don't want to just use Web2 infrastructure if I don't have to. Obviously I need Linode because I'm not going to create that. But as in terms of a CDN, I can figure that out. So I figured it out in like 2 days, started working well, and then I got sidetracked with working on my fingertip fork, and it's going decently. I've been working on that more than Beachfront this month. And then, of course, with all the discussion since yesterday about the proposal. So,
I think probably most of the call be on that, but I start with these more technical or product updates.
That's the technical stuff for now. I think I'm going to... maybe after the website builder is launched, I will turn off the like waitlist thing and just allow anyone to just come through and get domains. We'll see.
Great. Maybe just give a shout out of where people can find it or, you know, get on the waitlist.
Oh. Of course, beachfront.domains. And the waitlist you will see on beachfront.domain/welcome, which is also the login screen. So if you try to log in, you will see that in your face. Like, you can't log in yet. Join the waitlist. Cool. At some point, I will have the Handshake domain set up, and that will just be the ICANN domain flip. So instead of beachfront.domains, it'll be domains.beachfront.
Nice. I like that's cool flip. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Paul. Great. Appreciate it. To see it come to life. I know you've been working on this a long time, so it's exciting to see it come to life and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, slowly but surely. This has been a like stark contrast to how I, you know, tried to develop and launch things in the past. In the past, I've had things in beta forever, and I just never officially launched. Whereas this time, I launched while there was stuff still broken, and people bought stuff. And so I was like, wait, what? It doesn't have to be perfect? So that was pretty great. I'm going to try to do that more often, because Eskimo, he just launches shit, like, when he feels like it. When it's done, he has an idea, build something, it works, he launches it. I want to do that. I just need to get out of my like perfectionism mindset.
I basically just make a list of like the things that I need to have for launch, and anything that could be like cool to add later, I just add that to a to-do list that I launch right away with, like, as long as that core list is there, you know?
Nice. Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, I think some of you know, I'm working on more the e-com side of D-Web, decentralized internet, with Hamza and Loadpipe. And it's been almost kind of a year since we started talking about it. And we're also pushing in the team and the product team to get something out sooner, because we're on testnet at hamza.biz. But, we're actually had a big meeting, earlier this week with our partners, and we're going to push an MVP out sooner. So we'll have something on production. Again, it might be private alpha, because it is, you know, there is smart contracts and there's money involved, but hopefully something to show maybe in August, September, that people can actually buy a physical product on chain. So hopefully, I also like that, Paul, you know, I like, yeah, Eskimo. We just want to build stuff and break it, but there's also security is one other part, right? It's, they say in Web3 or smart contracts is a little bit trickier with that. It's what my developer partners tell me.
Yeah, if you're handling other people's money, you want to make sure that's right.
Yep.
Well, looking forward to seeing that, actually be released, opened. That'll be cool.
Yeah, this is maybe the theme of the first, you know, first part of this call is, yeah, get stuff out there, ship stuff, like follow Eskimo's, build it and then get the core product out, like MVP, they say, or they also call it like Lean Startup. There's a book, Lean Startup Methodology, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could always improve it later on.
Exactly.
You know?
So that, I think that's good.
I mean, free beta testers.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's better that way, because otherwise, like, if you like just build and build and build and build and build, like, it takes a while for something to start getting users. So, like, you really need as many users as you can in the beginning. So get it out as soon as possible, get some users, have them break shit, and way better off in the long run.
Cool. All right, do we have Blink Labs here? Let me see.
Hey, guys.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Blink Labs isn't here, but I'm here. I hired them. So, we should set up, I'll get them here next month, but it's good to be reconnecting with everybody. This is Jesse, formerly known as Handshake Jesus. It's good to be back. I actually resolved a domain on .ada today. So we got a lot.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
we got a lot to show in the coming months. You can check out digitalis.domains or digitalisdns and put your email in there, get on the waiting list. We built a on-chain auction system and a bunch of cool stuff, so it'll be fun to show that off. There's a trade show in Vegas in a couple weeks called Rare Evo. There's a lot of different crypto companies and stuff there. We got a big booth there. And we'll be demoing it at the show, and it'd be cool to maybe get on the agenda next month on the mastermind and show some stuff off.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so great to hear from you and connect. So can you say that domain for at least me to type in again?
Digitalis dot domains, D-I-G-I-T-A-L-I-S. If you go to, maybe you can find it on Twitter. The handle's Digitalis DNS. And I know Blink Labs, if you go to their Twitter, they have a pinned post.
Yeah, I'm fine. Finding the handle.
Yeah, so, yes, the Twitter handle that's tagged in that post is not the right one, but it is one. Just go to Digitalis DNS.
Yeah, I found it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. If you go to the website, it says basically coming soon, put your email in and we'll let you know. Nice. But it's good to reconnect with everybody, right? Verbally anyway.
Yes.
Been working so hard.
Yep.
I probably talk to Eskimo every day. I know what he's up to. But it's good to be back. There's lots of important stuff on the agenda and, you know, there's few things more important than handshake. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's true. It's great to have, it's great to hear your voice and connect again. Jesse, thanks for making it here. Yeah, so I found it. It's, I don't know if Ann can help pin it or what, but, on this Twitter, but yeah, I subscribed to, digitalis.domains, and then there's a subscribe button there, so I just put in an email. Cool, so I mean, just in the last 15, 20 minutes, we've got a lot of product updates, right? I mean, that's the beautiful thing about Handshake, you know, is people are always building, right? And it's a pure project, of that, right? Let me see, I'm just checking the agenda. I know everybody wants to talk about this proposal, but Nathan, do you have something to share? I guess Anne's got something listed here about you're experimenting on something. I don't know if you want to update.
I'm trying to think. I haven't really done too much lately because uni started back. The latest thing I did was set up a Mastodon instance that uses your Handshake domain as your login. So if you want to send messages with your Handshake domain, it's federated, so you can send it to anybody on Mastodon. Then feel free, mastodon.hns.au. Unfortunately, they don't let you – well, their system doesn't really let you have a Handshake domain as the web address, unfortunately, because that kind of breaks federation. So nobody will be able to send you messages, but your actual login is using a Handshake domain.
Awesome. Exciting, man. Thanks, Nathan. And I think the last thing before we get into proposal, again, Anne's written this, so it says, will we be launching HNS email soon? ?
I haven't heard. Yet I did have maybe a month ago, there was a little bit of a chat about it, but the problem with, email is the standard is made in such a way to stop spam emails. So if you receive an email, your email service provider, like Gmail or so and so, they will check to make sure the email was sent by that domain. And that check won't work with Handshake domains, unfortunately, unless the mail service is set up to resolve Handshake domains. So this sort of spam blocking will basically stop you from sending Handshake domains to anybody, which is kind of sad, but, I mean, there's nothing much we can do about that, unfortunately.
Okay. Understand. So let's, unless there's other updates about products or announcements, I think probably move into the main thing I think on the list that a lot of us are here for is the proposal. So Paul, do you want to maybe, I think you submitted it. Do you want to open up with that or?
I submitted it, but I'm not the smartest person to talk about this. I was just like, hey, we need something. So
come on, Paul, get into it, buddy.
High level, We have some coins locked up on the blockchain. It is up for debate which coins actually exist and which coins are locked up. But the fact of the matter is there's something on the blockchain that's not being used, that's just sitting there, that we could reallocate into a fund so we can encourage builders, developers, creators in general to come to Handshake and be rewarded for building something for Handshake to help drive eyeballs and interaction and just more people to come to the space and make it bigger. That's kind of the overview of that. And the contention is, well, we don't want to like drop the token price. It's going to flood the market, this and that. And like all these kind of like, in my opinion, fear mongering things, not really based on anything but feeling, has kind of dominated the conversation. I haven't really heard anything else being proposed though. So outside of wishing for like Jahan and A16Z and like these other people with money to try and come back in and like save us, I don't know what the goal is. Like, this is a way for the community to take matters into our own hands and use what is there and figure out a way to help fund Handshake ourselves. Like, how do we encourage browser vendors to integrate Dane into their browsers so we can like not have all these hacky workarounds for Handshake resolution? Like, that's a very simple example, but it's probably one of the most important ones because it involves TODs. Where are TODs used? In the browser. So
can I jump in a little bit on this?
Mm-hmm.
And just maybe do a little more 30,000 foot view. And I know that Andrew Lee is here, and I'm sure he wants to talk about this as well. But just to kind of take a little bit of a step back, you know, everyone knows that the developer airdrop, as good of an idea as it was in the beginning, just simply hasn't been claimed. And you can, there's a lot of different ways to look at that. I'd also say that it wasn't well marketed. People can't claim what they're not aware of, but as it stands today, 99% of that developer airdrop remains unclaimed. I remember a couple of years ago, Chango mentioned a clawback, and it was received like heresy. But I thought it was a pretty bold proposal, and I thought it was cool. Because in this day and age, there really isn't a chain out there that doesn't build in funding at the protocol level or something like that. So we've been talking for years, really, about, okay, is it possible to claw this back? Is it possible to recoup the funds to fund development? Because anyone that knows anything about Handshake, and there's something noble about this, of course, there isn't funding for development. It's very much like Bitcoin. But even Zcash, right, recently voted to take a percentage of the block reward to put toward development. So that's kind of the 30,000 foot thing. Is there a way that we could gain access to these coins in order to fund development? And recently, I saw a proposal of Andrew's, and then we started talking more about it. Obviously, there are competing proposals or different perspectives on the issue. And I actually posted Andrew's proposal in the GitHub thread because I imagine as this discussion begins, there will be lots of different proposals. So Paul took the initiative yesterday and put up a poll about reallocation. And there's sort of the debate has started. Is it a good idea to reallocate the funds? And fortunately, Matt Zipkin jumped in and helped us understand exactly what that would look like. And I think it's important as we begin that discussion to educate ourselves about what that might look like. Just quickly, if you go to the GitHub link, it's all laid out there, but it basically, if there was a recoup, it would be an ending, a soft fork to end the claims as they are today, and then a hard fork to start to access these coins in the block reward. So that's kind of an overall, and I just wanted to help kind of set the context and the stage for the discussion itself.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jesse.
First off, I want to thank Paul and Handshake Jesus, Jesse, for taking initiative on this. A little bit of the backstory here I think most of us are aware that building a product requires iteration. Bitcoin is a rare exception in that, the first version, of the protocol has, relatively remained unchanged, and became successful. And so, but I think that paints a heavy bias, towards what a project could become. Since the very, very early days, the same month as launching Handshake in 2020, there have been lots of ideas, floated around, amongst the early contributors for future iterations of Handshake. But I think, the sentiment was generally around like, hey, let's see how all this kind of plays out. Handshake's design, as you guys know, we didn't set up a foundation with or any company, development company or anything of that sort, with funds to, further funding development, and or adoption. And in many ways it was modeled around Bitcoin. With the exception that we had this, kind of massive airdrop, which goal of the airdrop was to kind of kickstart the ecosystem, and starting with mostly open source developers. And as Jesse mentioned, that idea hasn't really, panned out. I mean, I think it's the glaring, kind of conveyed Handshake as an experiment. And, with any good experiment, you've got to, take learning lessons and improve, right? That's the whole kind of purpose of experimentation. When we look back, at the 4.5 years, since Handshake launched, we can make some observations, and maybe one of the most important observations is that, hey, this whole kickstarting mechanism with the open source airdrop hasn't panned out as expected. And the size of that magnitude, in terms of kind of a tokenomics perspective, is quite large. There's 600 million HNS in circulation and close to 900 million locked up in this developer airdrop. And that 900 million was intended to be in circulation through the airdrop, but it's not, because it just simply hasn't been claimed. So, the most obvious thing to iterate on here is to put those funds back into good use. Now, anytime you increase the circulation of any supply, basically kind of like the denominator, the general rule here is if those funds or the extra supply goes towards kind of increasing the value. The overall value, then the overall price and things like that will improve, right? So you can kind of think of this in two different scenarios. One, in company issuing stock, for like new employees, you kind of think about it from like kind of a monetary perspective as well. So, you know, if a company issues stock to, rock star employees, there aren't investors that ever complain about something like that, right? Because they add value. Now, if you issue it and spend it on something stupid, obviously the overall enterprise value of a company deteriorates. And the same kind of, logic can be applied to, cryptocurrency protocol, cryptocurrency. So the question is, how to allocate that and to what direction? So coming to this recent kind of proposal, I took some ideas from, other proposals in the past, and it was really started, when a bunch of us were together in Hanoi, for the Handshake Hackathon. And, after the hackathon, we had a few days left and we were kind of jamming on like, hey, what would Handshake V2, if we can take, everything that we've learned since launching Handshake and apply it to iterating on Handshake, what would that look like? Obviously the first lesson, reallocating the open source airdrop is a big part of it. But the second big component of it, in the proposal is, what are some observations, in the way that people are using Handshake that was kind of unexpected. And for a lot of us, speaking from kind of, the early contributor stage, I don't think we anticipated, or even thought that, people buying TLDs and reselling SLDs either on chain or off chain would be a big driver, big use case driver. And you can see with, all these different projects, whether it's Digitalis, HNSID, or, just kind of the name base. It is one of the most prominent use cases of Handshake. And so a lot of the Handshake V2 ideas was kind of crafted around the idea, what if we, built kind of like an L2 on Handshake, where all these SLBs would be on chain within the Handshake ecosystem, but also supportive of other, you're getting collaboration with other ecosystems, whether there's Cardano, Cosmos, Ethereum, or whatever, and kind of see how that would play out. So the proposal there was to reallocate the most or majority of the coin supply to TLD communities that were building communities around like selling SLDs on chain and off chain, which is I guess a little different from the way Paul kind of proposed it, and I think kind of the beauty of Paul, the proposal I saw on GitHub is it's by far simpler. Which enables more flexibility, but, also adds more, a little bit more uncertainty, in terms of like, how those funds would be allocated long term.
Can I ask a technical question? Andrew, just so we're all on the same page for how that might look. When we talked to Matt yesterday, he just was informing us so we can all kind of think with this in mind that, and I'm just checking, kind of getting a reality orientation to make sure we're all on the same page about this, that the first step would be a soft fork that says, okay, we're ending claims. And, that might be interesting because I know the Blink Labs guys, lots of people are just now finding out about this. We could use that as a marketing event to get whomever doesn't know about it that can claim to claim. But step one being a soft fork that ends the claims, and then step two being a hard fork that adds X number of coins. I think when we're talking specifically about reallocation, it's reallocating coins to the block reward that then that percentage of coins, whatever that's determined to be, my understanding is that's a variable. That percentage, let's say 20%, would be added to the block reward. So let's just say for discussion purposes, the block reward's 1,000 now. We add 200 coins per block. So that is how the reallocation would actually take place. It would kind of be a trickle into some new wallet of the new coins that were added to the reward. Is that what you see or how you see it happening? I think the reason I bring that up is because a lot of the fears, and I've heard, and they're more or less irrational, but this is what I want to check out. People talking about dumping, you know, 900,000 coins on the market. We don't have the liquidity, but really it would be executed in sort of a trickle mode, so to speak, as a small percentage of the block reward that doesn't take from miners, but just as a way to distribute these new coins into a wallet that would then be managed by the community. I think that's the simplicity of Paul's proposal. There's no specifics around what we do with that money, but it's more specifically about how it would be reallocated. Is that how you see it also?
I think the mechanics of how to reallocate, I think, can be varied. But I'll have to talk deeper with Zipkin on what he meant by that. But I don't think you need a soft fork and a hard fork. I mean, I think you can just do one clean hard fork, and that reallocates and ends the claims at the same time. So, for example, let's say we schedule the hard, we, you know, get this proposal out and schedule it for April of next year. Well, that effectively means, you know, you can still claim your open source developer or any claims that are still available on the blockchain can extend towards that time. But once that time hits, then the unclaimed will be, kind of reallocated towards however it's defined. In the initial proposal, there is an iteration of this that I'm working with Lowell on. That we, you know, are hoping to present, by kind of the end of the month, because I think he's been kind of, jamming on this separately too. But regardless, the kind of idea was, you know, well, there's 600 million, like just to just go back to the numbers, there's 600 million in circulation today, 900 million that are unclaimed, that could be unlocked. So if you think about that, that's 150%, of the current supply. That's a lot. So what we're approaching this is, what if we just unlock half of it? The other half would still be locked. So just like 450 million, that's still a lot, you know, that's still like 70, 80% of the current supply. But not as overwhelming as like 150%. So that we have more chances at iterating on this. So, you know, in the future, you know, there could be another hard fork that unlocks the other 450 or something like that. And then on that 450, it would be split, in a lot of different ways. So, there could be another airdrop to, TLDs. This is the way we're kind of thinking about this, that 450 would be split in a few ways. Portion of it to TLDs that are building SLV communities. Whether it's the TLDs that are selling names on HNSID, Digitalis, Forever Domains, or on Namebase, they would get, the airdrop would go proportionately to the revenue earned by these TLD owners. So for example, if one TLD owner sold 1 million SLDs for 1 cent each, versus another TLD owner sold, 1,000 at $100 each, it would go proportionally to kind of the factor there, the revenue earned. So, I mean, that's kind of like a spam prevention kind of mechanism.
Can I jump in for a second, real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
Before you continue to like a different topic, but what's the reason for it going to TLDs that are selling SLDs. I mean, they're selling the SLDs. That's getting them funding right there. What I don't understand why anybody with a TLD that's selling SLDs should be getting.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question. Really? No, that's a good question. I think one is just a portion of this. The other portion would be people that bought TLDs in Augral groups like that have been building stuff on Handshake that haven't been selling SLDs. And then the other portion for the company or the entity that'll be developing out this L2 and applications related to it. So it's not like so it's one portion of it. And then in terms of like what the point of is it's basically incentivizing kind of the behavior that we'd like to kind of see used on the L2, which is the SLD registrations, issuances, community building type thing. But again, like just to reiterate, it would be, 10-15% of this $450 million HNS. It wouldn't be the majority nor the, it'd be one component of that. The long-term, like the general idea is incentivizing people that are using Handshake. Beyond in the lightest touch form, it could be people that are buying TLDs, and maybe like level two or something, or people like that are, using TLDs to sell SLDs. And then another level would be people building businesses, or on applications for Handshake that they would constitute like another different group. So it's basically rewarding people that have been building and contributing to HS or building, using, contributing to the Handshake ecosystem. Does that make sense?
Kinda. I guess the problem that I have with it is that, like, yes, there's SLDs being sold, and yes, there's people selling them, but name one SLD that's being used for anything. Like, I don't see the point of enabling that behavior. It's behavior that's not really desirable. Like, we have 11 million TLDs, and there's like 10 being used. Why the hell should we be rewarding people for selling SLDs right now when we have 100 users? It's just, that just seems stupid. Especially when they're being rewarded financially just by speculative, I guess you could say, investors of these SLDs. Like, it seems dumb to me. As, like, most of the things in your proposal, the spending part was the part that I just didn't agree with at all.
I think all
your ideas of where to put the money, basically. I don't agree with any of it.
Besides
Bob Wallet. I would agree with Bob Wallet. Sure, no problem. But the rest of it just kind of seemed a little dumb. Like, Namebase. Why give money to Namebase? Namebase is making money. Namebase has investors. Namebase is holding most Handshake and most TLDs. Why the hell would you give money to to Namebase? That makes no sense to me.
Can I just jump in one second? Because I think this is an important point. And it's something...
Of course.
This is something that we were kind of reflecting on in the poll. I know that Paul put a poll in there. And, one thing that we wanted to try to even test the waters on is, what does the community feel about a reallocation period? So even prior to how do we spend the money, which of course is going to be hotly debated, right? And there's plenty of time to talk about that, and that's interesting. But I think if you take a step back, there's probably plenty of people on this call that are thinking, let's do nothing, right? The last thing I want to do, and this is fear. I think there's a lot of fear that it's going to end up in the wrong hands so a lot of the idea in putting a proposal forward was just to get a taste test, so to speak, from the community. Is reallocation something that we can get consensus on? And, it's kind of like, I think there's still that question. There, about 67 or 68% of the voters, which is about 25 at this point, were interested in the reallocation. And I think that's kind of like the larger issue. Is the reallocation a done deal? Are we going to do that no matter what? And so we should just start focusing on how the money's going to be spent, Or is the reallocation itself even up for debate?
I think at this point it's pretty clear that, I mean, all of us that are talking right now have agreed with some sort of proposal at this point. So I think at least between all of us, we can agree that a reallocation is a good idea. But the spending thing is the problem that I have, like, where I mainly don't want it to turn into a way for each of us to start taking a little bit of money this month and this person take money next month or whatever. I don't think it should go to any projects that exist already. You know, we've all made things. We've only made a little bit of money from things. There's people making money selling things right now. None of them should be getting anything extra. They should be to bring in new people and fund integration, fund listings for exchanges, fund new wallets for mobile devices, all sorts of things like that. They should not be. Let's each try to get as much of it as possible. That doesn't solve.
Get closer to the mic.
Andrew.
Yeah, I do agree with Eskimo on this one. I think ideally what
did
I
you
would.
Not hear me or something?
Oh, yeah, most of it.
you were rugging a bit.
Yeah.
I might have lost service a little bit, but I was just saying that it shouldn't turn into something of like each of us that have been around for a couple years just finding a way to get some money out of it. It should be going to funding new things. New wallets,
yeah.
New services, new whatever, new things that we need, exchange listings, whatever. I just don't want to see it all go into thing like, you know, just everybody in the community that's been here.
You know,
I think that sort of thing is what's going to make the difference, I think, between whether the token price goes up or down with inflation. If we are just putting tokens in as a, oh, thanks for doing good work or something like that, then it's that token that we just inserted into the currency isn't bringing any
I think I heard you start
adoption or use case.
I don't hear anything now. I don't know if it's just me.
It might be you asking. Well, sometimes that happened to me before. Maybe try to leave or come back, maybe. Or sometimes certain people can't hurt other people.
What you know,
Yeah,
I was able to hear.
Oh, now I know.
Yeah,
I was too.
Okay.
You know, this is a...
Cool. So I think if we are injecting tokens into circulation and those tokens or that insertion actually brings value to Handshake, then that will not cause the token price to go down. So I'm thinking, as Eskimo said, stuff like integrations, new wallets, exchanges, and things like that. Because if we are just paying people retrospectively or as like a thanks for just being here, then what are those tokens going to be used?
Yeah.
Most of them,
well part of this,
depending on who they're given to, they're not going to be dumped, but they're not going to be increasing the value in Handshake.
Yeah, I mean, part of the idea behind that was, is like, well, all right, so like, let's say somebody contributes to building something next year, and they get funds for it, versus, you know, a lot of the people on this call, that have been building things for the last 5 years, like, well, why should the people that are building because they're getting paid for it next year, receive money versus the guys that have been doing it for free, for the first 4 years or something? That's part of it. And then the other part of it is like the people, like it's the general idea is like the people that have been building, and you know, without the expectation of anything in return, maybe if they receive some funds that they would build more, right? Or they'd be able to do more with it. And so that, you know, that's kind of the general idea, but I will add that like this to be able to pay for like exchange listings and things like that, you kind of can't just do that with HNS. Right. If you want to pay a market maker or an HSS, you need some access to fiat on the other end, which means you've got to pitch something to investors to raise fiat, like a different currency than HNS. Right. So then in order to do that, you need to have like, a vision for, hey, what is this thing going to do? What is this thing going to build? That you can actually raise money on. And then, you can take those funds and pay for things like exchange listings and stuff. But you can't give an entity or a multi-sig or anything, just a bunch of HNS, and expect them to be able to get exchange listings, right? The only thing they can do is sell it for dollars, which would, you know, negatively impact the price, and then you take, I mean, like, they're just the mechanics of that, like, whatever we've got. I agree, like, it's not, I wouldn't say, like, hey, it's all being spent for one idea, or, like, just to reward people that have been doing this. It's, I mean, the idea is to do kind of, like, multiple things with it.
Yeah. I get that you can't, like, we don't want to just pay people in HNS to do listings, because at the end of the day, those people need to, well, have fiat, do all sorts of other things. They need to have Bitcoin to do a trade swap, depending on what they want to swap it with. And all that liquidity needs to come from somewhere. So if they're selling the HNS to provide that, it'll probably negatively impact the price.
The way I look at it, though, is the price is down 95%. I mean, how much lower is it?
Oh, yeah.
But does it, I don't think we should be about the fucking price.
It could easily go another 95%. That's the interesting thing about going down. You can go down another 95 from here, no problem. I would say if you give the money for an exchange listing, it's a guaranteed drop, right? Because you're going to have to, they're not going to hold it in HNS unless they're going to sell it on their own market as liquidity. But there's one thing that Andrew said earlier that I understand and that's important in this is that, you know, what he had mentioned about giving employees stock. Well, it's the employees that give the value to the stock to begin with. And so there's a middle ground here probably somewhere, because, you know, if you're building on HNS and you're holding HNS, you're going to want to increase the value of HNS, right? You're literally adding value to the chain. And so you're incentivized to add value to those coins. So I think we all agree. I just think, first of all, it's a little amazing that there's consensus to some degree on the reallocation. It's newsworthy, right? It's a big deal, because I think it does give a new future to Handshake. I still think I'm a little in shock that it's been so easily agreed upon.
I will add, I mean, so, you know, just, I don't know how this, I mean, I've been trying to be, like, secretive about this proposal in any way, but I haven't been, like, sharing it or tweeting it or sharing it widely. And by the way, I'm glad it did, because it opened up these discussions. And, you know, I think I was being everybody's part of this was being a little slow with things. So I'm very thankful to you guys, for kind of like circulating it. While sharing with, different parties, I think we had maybe like, I would say like 90%, maybe 90 to 95% were in favor of some form of reallocation and reallocation maybe in this way. But I would add it wasn't unanimous. There were people that were like, that just literally just wanted to leave it like this. But my sense right now is that it'd probably be like 90 to 95% consensus. And by the way, and I don't think any hard fork passes with like 100% consensus. So, I mean, not that 100% is the goal, but like, you know, just as a caveat, I think it's around 90, 95.
You know, I think that we've had the same, you know, we had talked about this for a long time. And when I saw your proposal, I thought, okay, now's the time for us to get this out in the open. There's so many channels that people are talking about these different things, and it's not all the same people, right? Handshake Powwow is different than the Discord. And so the interesting thing that was common among it all was the conversation of reallocation. And now that that's out there, I think we can kind of have a well-lit room about how this might be allocated. Most folks are just scared that it's going to end up in the wrong hands. So, you know, whether that be somebody that just dumps it or a greedy insider group or whatever it is, it seems pretty clear that everybody here, everybody involved in the conversation wants the best for Handshake. But so it seems like, and I'm wondering, like, is this something that we can discuss over the next few months and sort of try to arrive at consensus about how the money is allocated. I think people fear that it's just going to happen to us, right? And that we won't be able to really craft and hone a proposal that, or have the time to really craft and hone a proposal that seems to work for everyone and gives people the opportunity to engage, voice their ideas, and come up with something that we could actually get consensus on how to spend the money as much as we have the consensus for reallocating it. Is that, does it feel like we have the space for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I do think now that it's kind of in the open, I definitely think everybody who wants to be kind of involved in this process and kind of coming to consensus about, you know, the details of the reallocation or such, I think, I definitely agree now's the time to kind of act on this.
You know, you had said something really interesting.
I think the way you said that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, something you said interesting earlier was only allocating like $450 million. And in case we fuck this up, right, that right. It's not, you know, we can iterate on this reallocation. I think that's an interesting middle ground or nuance maybe of what a reallocation would look like. But go ahead, Eskimo.
I was just going to say, I think like how you said, a lot of people just fear that it'll go into the wrong hands and stuff. And I think that's kind of more what I'm getting at with the whole it shouldn't just be given to kind of all the people involved. I mean, like, obviously, sure, I've been building for basically free for years now. I wouldn't feel right just taking a whole bunch of coins out of this just because, like, but hey, if there's some new bounty for building something and I can get new coins for doing something, absolutely, you know, I'm down. But like, I think if you set it up in such a way that just by immediately doing, you know, the reallocation and those coins that say, okay, now fucking 20% goes to Namebase and this goes to here and this goes to this person. And then it's like everybody involved in the signer list basically gets some sort of coins for something. Then people are going to say, yeah, see, I knew this was going to the wrong fucking place. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of just seems like you're just trying to like milk it dry. You know?
It makes me wonder if there, and this is something we were trying to do when we were talking about it and it came up on GitHub in the proposal, Matt Zipkin saying, well, what would you guys use it for? And in all my years of giving and granting and donating, bounties work the best because you figure out what it is that you want done and people can compete. You know, you do a request for proposal. People give proposals about, you know, how they're going to get it done. And then you decide what to fund. There's milestones. There's accountability. It's pretty straightforward. I'm wondering if there's consensus or we could get a list or agree on the things that we would want done as a community. And then we could bounty those, get multiple proposals. And this is what I meant in my feedback about your proposal, Andrew, that, you know, Kyokin could probably win a lot of proposals because they have a track record, people trust them, and if the community had some sort of consensus about what it wanted done, then other people could compete to do that. And I think that's an interesting way to go about this. It also, this concept of community consensus, I want to, you know, keep working toward that. And that might be an interesting way to structure what we would do with the money. But I think that's going to be the interesting part now that it seems like a reallocation is going to happen. How do we structure it? And you know, it's gotten a little argumentative on some of the channels, at least on this Discord channel. That I've been paying attention to, but I want, you know, I'm hoping that we can leave plenty of time, plenty of space to get all the perspectives, to hear everything. I mean, this is a huge endeavor. It's a huge amount of coins. It's incredibly important to craft this with great care. And so I'm not attached to any outcome, frankly. I just want to make sure that we have the space to have all the voices heard and that we can really do something awesome together that the community more or less buys into.
I think
the idea with having a...
actually is coming up with like a set of rules or something that we follow and like certain transparency guidelines rather than actually deciding where the money goes, but rules that we're going to follow about where the money goes. And I think that'll get us further than trying to decide where it goes, like up front, you know?
Yeah. So that's the idea with having like the multi-sig is we don't decide straight away where all the money's going because realistically it's going to change in 6 months. Like we don't know the future. Well, I don't know about you guys. But ideally, if we have the multi-sig proposals that have actual community discussions, then we should be going fairly well with how that money is spent. Because if we have, like, the multi-sig signers, having a look at the list, most of the people, well, most of them are devs, a few aren't, but they don't know the whole idea of what the community wants. The community has, well, I'm not sure how many people, but at least probably maybe 10,000, like that hold TLDs. There's a lot of varied ideas. So I think proposals from the multi-sig should have at least a week or two of community discussions before they get voted on by the signers.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I feel like the signers can just have like a, you know, either monthly or quarterly meeting to go over all the proposals and then decide what gets done and vote on things or whatever. I mean, but I just think that there should be general guidelines of we don't spend X amount percentage on one category in a certain period of time or things like that to like make sure that we properly spend the money and we don't just give too much away here and there, you know? Like I think just setting rules like that to follow will make it a lot easier to spend the money than just saying, hey, this is a good idea, let's do this. Like to have some actual rules makes a lot more sense in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Having like set guidelines for them to hold, sure, they probably are not going to be able to be, you know, fixed on chain, enforceable, but yeah, that having that and also being transparent, I think if we have those two things, then we should be, well, I think that will actually help make these token rewards actually, you know, bring value to Handshake, increase the users and the adoption.
Yep, definitely.
I can speak for some that are maybe more anonymous or don't share on these calls. So Andrew C, a lot of you know Andrew. He couldn't make it today to this space, but he says I could read out loud what his thoughts are. He votes to burn. We need a fork one way or another because we need to do something with a bunch of names that are effectively locked forever. I think getting rid of unclaimed coins is to close this discussion once and for all is a good idea. It's not popular. It's brutal, not naive and idealistic, but honestly, it's most reasonable, fair, and ethical way forward. We are clearly seeing more and more censorship, speech control restrictions, and I firmly believe that it will become orders of magnitude easier to sell the idea of HNS going forward. That's from Andrew C. in a DM on Twitter about 4 hours ago. Also, HNS Broker, you maybe see in various channels, is not for it. I think a lot of you've heard from him. He's not on the audio. I think he's even on the space, but he's not for it, as well. And Stephen Mackey has been on Twitter, and I don't think I don't know exactly his opinion, but he seems fearful that it would flood the supply and the price from my reading of his. So I just want to represent those that are not here.
Mackey doesn't care about Handshake. He just pops in.
I feel like, you know, yesterday, you know, like a company stock offering, it's the same thing. You're adding value as you diluted value. It means you're in the same place you were before, you know? The adding value negates the loss in value from creating the extra shares or coins or whatever.
Yeah, I get where they're going. Like, I understand that it can seem like it's a bad idea. Like, we do need to discuss it a bit more. You know, diluting the supply generally is a bad thing. But I think if we have it with, you know, every single spend of these tokens has to be, well, it's approved by the multisig, but it has to have community discussions to actually bring value to Handshake, then I think the token inflation is, well, for lack of a better word, like a necessary evil. Like it's, you need to have some way for us to be able to fund, Handshake. I'm not sure if you've had a look
regarding
around.
Regarding inflation too though, deflation wise, if you look at like the Shake, which has stats on the Handshake that we've burned 60 million coins at this point. And clearly that hasn't really deflated shit. You know? So people thinking that burning coins or creating new coins is gonna, you know, inflate it so much. I mean, what's your explanation for burning 60 million coins and the price not being stable then? You know, like it just doesn't make any sense. It's obviously, it can only help when we have money and we can actually market Handshake properly and have it listed on exchanges. And honestly, the most important thing for me would be getting browsers on board with Dane. We don't even need them to integrate Handshake. Let's just get them to fucking put Dane in, you know?
Yep. Like, if you have a look Reddit or so
for sure, Brave.
If you have a look, like,
I mean, if anything, given the Brave.
So. Yeah.
Brave is going to be two booths down for me. You might want to put it on, mute, Andrew. Brave's going to be two booths down for me at this rare thing. So I'm going to sick the dogs on him and see what's up. But the coin burn thing is a myth, actually. The best case is Stellar Lumens. Stellar Lumens burned over half of their supply. It went up by 25% for like a week and it just went right back down. I think there's a lot of research, and this is something that, we can add to the discussion, is just straight up research. We're not the first, group who wants to manage, a bunch of funds. Cardano has 600 million, even at this level. That's got a very detailed proposal process. Certain amount of money is released, every quarter. We can pull together a lot of best practices and really just show the data on what does work, what doesn't work. This idea that the coin price is going to go down, I think, is arguable, right? And there are other factors that are involved with that. But I know that that's a major fear of folks in that. But we can really pull together a lot of research and put together a really well informed proposal for why we want to do the things that we want to do. I'm glad you said what you said, Mike, and that you're providing a voice for folks like Andre and H&S Broker, because I know they're very much against a reallocation, and you know, their arguments for being that way need to be heard. I think that's part of what I was saying before about, you know, have we actually arrived at consensus? and let's provide the space to hear why they're concerned. What are they afraid? Because part of working toward consensus is trying to bring everybody in, right? Okay, there's a reason they're afraid. We all love Handshake. We all want it to move forward, but there's something to what they're saying. And that was part of what I was saying earlier about consensus around reallocation. Mostly what people are scared of it ending up in the wrong hands. They're saying to burn it. But, you know, we've had this debate with Andre on the Discord for a year, probably at least about burning.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they're ever going to change. It's just a strange kind of uneducated view, in my opinion. Like,
you know,
if you look at it from like a not just crypto perspective and you look at it in like a traditional business or stock market way, this is a common thing that everybody does. Like, and it works out 90% of the time. Like,
look at Michael Saylor. He's issuing new stock all the time, right? And look at where it's
gone.
But it's more about providing the space so everyone gets heard. Like Andrew said earlier, we're not going to arrive at 100% consensus. But if we can get up in the 90s, that's pretty good. That's pretty
amazing. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's a productive debate, then it's worth having it. You know, unlike the one guy in the Discord, I mean, like, there was no point. There's no point in even trying to talk to somebody like that, you know? You can have a productive debate, though. And I'm open to hearing the other side of things, too, you know?
Yeah, I wish HS were, he's here listening. He sent it to me in DM. I'm all for redesigning the dev GitHub airdrop, marketing it on GitHub, and leave it 4 more years. That is a quote from 2 minutes ago in the DM to me on Twitter.
What would the four more years
do? Unfortunately, the airdrop doesn't, like, it's not going to work anymore. It's best practice, and a lot of the devs just don't have access to those keys. So
I think what he means is maybe make a new snapshot or a new way mechanism for even maybe newer GitHub users or something.
Well, at the end of the day, that's the exact same. It's going to have the same effect as the original, where unless we have a way to market it, nobody's going to claim it. So. How are we going to be able to actually market it? You know, let the devs know, let people, tell them about how to claim it. Unless that happens, it's just going to sit there. Sure, you might get another 5%, probably not even that. I would say maybe less than 1% people would even claim it.
5% would shock me.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not going to get people claiming just because we don't have the resources to market. And I think marketing is one of the things that Handshake does really badly. We don't have that many funds, but I think if we are able to do marketing, that is actually going to change, you know, the value of Handshake more than paying for a couple of random people on GitHub.
You know, I think the best marketing for Handshake will be people using it, right? And people that create businesses on top of it, they're gonna market it. But here's where the nuances to the proposal could be. You could always take 5% and do another snapshot and see, and try to, you know, engage these developers in that. But I guess there's a lot of room, you know, for nuance within this proposal and what to do. It is a lot of coins. It's 150%, as Andrew said. And so I can imagine, you know, if we leave, it's almost like we do a request for proposal time, kind of shepherdize all the ideas, look at them all, you know, and take the good ones and throw out the bad ones. I guess my concern is that we don't give it enough time and space to really craft something amazing. And so, you know, this is sort of the first public conversation about all of this. And I just don't want to be in a hurry here. I think, you know, that's,
we got like so much time. Like it's not like
we could also do another airdrop. I was saying we could also do another airdrop, even if it's not on chain, but like,
it's a little choppy.
Snapshotting.
Yeah,
I know. Fucking Verizon these days, man. Verizon sucks.
Oh man.
But to Akuma's point, I do think.
But I was just saying that we could always just do an airdrop, you know, off chain if we really wanted to, after the coins have been allocated too. Like we could have some sort of guideline to always have 10% allocated to some sort of airdrop and change the airdrop every month if we wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll add there is, the designing an on-chain airdrop, like at the hard fork, there are some like legal and tax, like advantages of doing that as opposed to holding it all in a multi-sig and just kind of spending from that. Namely, like if you do this in, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not like a tax or accounting expert from having, you know, kind of thought through those aspects in the initial, Handshake V1 launch. I'm pretty sure like every single time you spend or just give away from a multi-sig, those are all taxable events. And for both the recipient and the giver. I think we could definitely run into some compliance issues, if we, you know, with the maximum kind of flexibility option. But I do know from a legal and tax kind of perspective to design a, airdrop together as a community, that allocates on chain in one hard fork is way.
We should consider doing these things somewhere other than Twitter Spaces, by the way, because it's a pretty bad platform for this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the legal thing would work with the multi-sig airdrops, because like what region would the multi-sig be in? We got people in, well, the US, I'm in Australia, we've got people in Europe, like.
Yeah,
who do they pay tax to?
Yeah, to contextualize, like, just spending from a multi-sig, that's, like, really not an airdrop. That's more like a grant system or, like, an expense thing. It's not, you wouldn't be able to get away with contextualizing that as an airdrop. So, as opposed to, like, something that's designed on-chain. So, yeah, I do understand there's, like, definitely pros and benefits of it. You have more flexibility coming.
I wish I could hear whoever was talking right now.
Yes, people was having some problems. Come on, Andrew speaking. Maybe he's trying to exit or re-enter.
I see Andrew as a fucking listener. Andrew doesn't even show as a speaker for me.
Yeah, this happens to me sometimes.
Can we just do this on Discord in the future? Like, why are we doing this on Twitter still? This is terrible.
It's got more reach. More new people some people find out about it that are in a close community.
You could why not just stream like the Discord discussion onto Twitter then? Like,
I think we should talk about that actually, because to really do this right, we should try to get to as many people as possible. We can do it again on Discord, but I completely agree with you there. One other thing I was going to say about the plan, so to speak, is that, and you know, we've even been talking in the Discord, how do you do this? Me having a 501c3 that fiscally sponsored the Handshake Institute, Richard donated to that, Jahan donated that, to then get to the D-Web Foundation. We've addressed a lot of these things. I think that we can get creative there, but this is also in the nuances of the proposal. Meaning you can deposit into depending on the mission of the not-for-profit, right? They could take the coins, they can distribute the coins. And you guys did something like this in the beginning, Andrew. So there's some legal and tax subtleties to there. Anytime you pay it out, it's income to whoever received it, right? But depending on the entity or the temporary organization, I think maybe was the language that's been used. that's an important part of the execution, I think, and it kind of deserves its own area, right?
Okay, so I'm gonna name our tips. I think he's listening. He commented on this Twitter space. He's been active in the past and has contributed and sponsored various things and HandyCon and others. He says, consider the ... investors in things ... developers, builders of things ... users of things ... promoters, advertisers of things ... preservers of things ... destroyers of things ... Understanding the who allows you to tackle the what, as in what things need to be built or done. So, thanks for your input, Namer. Tips. Also, I did see like Sajin in India from Agamin commenting on the GitHub saying, hey, can we be added to the multi-sig? So, I mean, that my little bit of fear is some people will feel excluded or not noticed, what, you know, even though there might not be as vocal or active, you know. So, I mean, that is one of my fears. It's people that have been contributing that feel like they're not recognized or other parts.
Right. Here's what I would say about the multi-sig.
We could always add people or remove people in the future, though, too. Yeah, that's another thing. We could always just vote on adding somebody else and then make a new multi-sig, transfer the funds, and now 100%. We have new people, you know, added. Yeah.
The multi-sig isn't really a decision-making crew. This is what I was saying on the GitHub. They're doing the will of whatever the community wants to do. The multi-sig holders, as I proposed them, and Paul recorded it, was just people that I would trust to not do anything stupid, right? It's just people that could actually, that we could all more.
It's a chore for the signers, really.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing glorious about being a signer on the multi-sig. And frankly, I don't see them as decision makers. I see them as decision executors, right? And so if we can find sort of consensus outside of that, we say to the multi-sig holders, okay, spend this transaction there. They dial up the transaction. It has a threshold. Part of the reason for using a multi-sig is just from a security standpoint and even a key security standpoint, you just have a basic, you know, 6 of 10 threshold or something like that. So if some people lose it, we still got plenty of signers, but it's not a decision-making crew. And I think, you know, we could empower those guys to make decisions, but that wasn't the concept. I use multi-sigs in multiple chains to manage multiple organizations every day because it's a good way to hold coins. It's a good way to hold keys without having to worry about anything getting lost. But as it was conceived, these people are just like administrators of the will of the community, so to speak. So, you know, getting added to the multi-sig, I think we could have a process for that, right? If people want to get involved with that, we could have a process for that. But it wasn't ever thought of as something, some type of power position. It's more of a defensive position so that we don't lose the funds and that those people were just folks that I would trust off the top of my head. That list could totally change, of course, off the top of my head to not fuck it up, so to speak. So that's just a little bit of context to that. We're changing multi-sig signers all the times on the ones that I'm involved with. And you just, create a new wallet. You send the transaction there. The new wallet has the new signers. The old signers send the money to the new wallet and you go from there. We could have, this is an interesting place for community governance, right? The thing that I liked about it is that I knew all 10 of the guys and they've been around the whole time and so I would trust them. And I think, you know, part of it is I don't want to deviate from people that I know and trust just like anyone else would. And I think this is what Seijin and them are saying. Of course, I'd have put Seijin on there. I could have named another 10 people that I would have also trusted to do the right thing about it. But in just kind of giving some context to the multi-sig, it's just someone to do the bidding of the community. It wasn't someone, any type of power.
What did we?
Yeah, I agree. If we have, we can't have a multi-sig that is big enough to have the whole idea of what the community wants. we can't have that many members in a multisig. That would just be a nightmare. So I reckon
is there a limit?
That's a good question.
Probably not, but it's just going to be an absolute nightmare. Do you want to send a partially signed transaction to 200 people?
Absolutely not.
It becomes an administrative nightmare if you have too many signers. I'm on some multi-sigs with 14 signers with a threshold of 8 or 9, and it's very difficult to get things done, but it's very secure. All you have to do, it just takes 2 weeks for everybody, those eight of those 14 to get the signature in, but that can be done too, right? You could do
it's just a good thing that Bob Wallet has now instead of everybody having to try to set up Palm Reader and use Palm Reader.
Oof. Palm Reader's beautiful though. That's what I would say. I was looking at it today.
Oh, it's great, but like trying to get like everybody on that list to use Palm Reader might be a little difficult for a couple of them, you know?
Some of them are technical
ones. A little bit easier.
Yeah.
But to not get distracted from the point, like we can determine who those signers are. If you look at the polling, a good amount of people said, yes, I'm open for the reallocation, but I would want different signers. So I think that's a great point that Sajan's making. And part of the point that you brought up, Eskimo, in the debate was, you know, should we have people from multiple organizations? Should we have more than one people from multiple organizations? You know, so this is also part of the discussion. Who are the signers?
Yeah. Yeah, I just think if you have like 3 or 4 people from Namebase, it's a little crazy, especially if you only have like, you know, a 7 out of 10 or something like that. You got, you know, more than half just people at Namebase. That's a little,
I think,
a little unsafe in my
opinion.
So like, yeah, I mean, take one of them out and throw Sajan in there. Why not?
Well, I think Andrew.
Yeah, the problem with that is there's a lot of people in Namebase that are, you know, people that used to do a lot of work on Handshake.
Well, I think what.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said for no particular reason other than just multiple people at the same company. I got no problem with, you know,
just
Nodar,
security
or anybody else. It's just, you can't have 5 people at Namebase on the wallet. It's just, you can't.
I think, Noel is working on a new proposal, next week. Andrew mentioned it, which will, I believe some of his parts will be a multiple multi-sig or a multiple group rather than one multi-sig, but like multiple. Groups for different types of purposes that would allocate for different uses instead of one big multi.
See, and that's actually not a bad idea either. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually
a good idea. I'd like to see that.
It's a really good idea. You know, that's a great thing. This is why I want to leave enough space for multiple proposals. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So I agree. Like we've got plenty of time to do lots of proposals, discussions. But I reckon having multiple, multi-sigs for different reasons, that would be quite useful. We could have a top multi-sig holding the funds at the beginning. We could then have community proposals saying, hey, this, we want to, you know, chuck 5% into a multi-sig for marketing that they're going to spend over the next 12 months. Something like that. To then, divvy up the work a bit to people that actually, you know how to do that. We could have people that are actually
thing,
used
though,
to marketing.
Is transparency
on the marketing.
Though. And
yes.
Like my plan would be to have some sort of site where each transaction that we make would go onto a site for transparency that other people could then follow along that wallet and so on. So like the more wallets you have, the more of a nightmare that's going to be to keep track of and announce everything transparently, you know?
Well, there would be purposes. Yeah. They would have different purposes, right? So if you were curious about a certain purpose, you could dig into that purpose multisig.
Yeah, it's almost like having committees, right? You have a marketing committee. They determine what to do with the funds. You have an open source dev committee or something like that. It'll be interesting to see Noel's proposal and see how the different groups he proposes. But you know,
next week.
Go
ahead.
No, that's great. I'm excited to see it, and I'm honestly just sort of still in shock we're having the conversation.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Okay, well, we're an hour and a half in. I mean, I know we could go for more, but I feel like we're getting towards some kind of a conclusion or I think it's a good break for today. I think, yeah, there's still some people feeling strange about this. Like we brought up, I raised some of their concerns, but it does feel like majority of people, well, I think with anything, just having it locked sitting there looks weird. I even see people kind of jumping into our telegrams from seeing this huge unallocated amount, wondering what it is, right? So I just feel like addressing it.
It would be great if on the next talk we can get some people that are against it. This way we could have an open conversation about that too.
Agreed. I think maybe it's either English or their anonymity. They're or the time maybe. But also Santiago has suggested to do it in D-Web chat on Discord next time with Migs Machine and Andrew and streaming on YouTube. He just commented on the Twitter.
Yeah, I think just doing it on Discord and then streaming it on Twitter, streaming it on YouTube, streaming it all over the place would be way better, man. Cause like Discord, you can come and go and there's no weird things where you can't hear some people. And it's,
yeah, I also think, rough. You know, recording it and make sure it's distributed is a good idea.
This is recorded and will be distributed on.
Yeah.
Mike, are you familiar with Restream?
I've heard of it, but not, can't say I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking of different ways that we can stream across multiple locations.
StreamYard is something I've been involved with using software.
Yeah. OBS.
Yeah, there's a few different things, but it would be, any one of them would be great. And then we could actually have the chat on a way better platform because Twitter Spaces is not the best.
Well, we need to chat on probably a couple of different platforms because we do have different audiences. Like there are plenty of people I know that absolutely hate Discord.
Yeah,
like,
We set up a fucking team speaker, Ventrilo, or one of those.
Well, I think by just rotating it onto different platforms. Not Mumble. Always the same platform, Mumble. But we rotate it. Like sometimes Twitter Spaces, sometimes Discord, and we try to distribute it on other channels, but we can kind of rotate it so that it's just, there's different opportunities.
Yeah. The chats are always good on Twitter. It's just the platform is not the best when it comes to like these voice chats.
Of that though, I do think that we should have kind of a single location for the written, proposals, and you know, it seems like there's consensus that GitHub is the place for that.
Yeah, I think everybody likes that. Well, a lot of people don't, but I think everybody's agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I see no better place than GitHub, honestly. You can't take like random chats in a Discord as like an official discussion, really, you know.
All right. So I think we're good for now. I think we're going to see something from Noel next week, Andrew said, and I think I've also been chatting a little bit to Noel privately. So that I'm excited to see that. Trying to think when the next session could be, but maybe Santiago can let us know, and I'd love to join that one. We could try different platforms and technologies. And then, yeah, I do think GitHub is the one to use, for the core discussion. It seems like.
Which Discord is Santiago talking about though? I'm in like, what, 15 fucking handshake Discords. I don't even know if I'm in that one that he's talking about.
Same.
Right.
I'm not sure either. He could. I'm also not so active on Discord. I've gotten burnt out from.
Probably missed this one. Was that all we were talking about? Well, we have HandyCon coming up soon, so keep an eye out for
HandyCon,
that.
HandyCon, and yeah, HNSAU or in Irwin.
Wait, did you say HandyCon already?
I mean,
Well, it's not yet, but just like keep an eye out.
I was gonna say, like, it's almost time for fucking HandyCon already.
No, that will be March.
I feel like it was so recent, right? Wasn't it
March next year? But people are already talking and preparing, you know. But that will be next March, 2025. But yeah, people are excited already.
So yeah, that's pretty far away.
It's halfway through the year already. I mean, like,
we're not even halfway yet, dude. We're not halfway yet.
What is it? It's August now? Oh no, July.
It's July.
Yep.
We're like 8 months away.
There is discussion about in person every year. People want to do it in person, you know, have somewhere, but I don't know if we can. I mean,
it's the way to go.
I mean, it would be great, but it wouldn't work. Like, I don't see it. Don't see many people.
So here's what we do. Here's what we do. We take the money and we buy an office building, right? And then we all move into the office building. And there we go. Problem solved.
We can just live together. We can just have a huge village and I'll just hang out here.
Yes. Yeah, a commune.
Yeah, as long as it's in Australia, she'll be right.
All right, a multi-continental commune.
All right, great. Well, I think feels like we're wrapping up this one. So stay tuned for the next. I think it would be great to have Santiago Meg's machine involved in that one. And it seems like a Discord with multi-channel just streaming and, of course, recording. But thanks, everybody, for hanging out for this Handshake Mastermind Twitter space. And I think that's a wrap. Any last words?